The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October 29th. We're coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our programs, all the podcasts, and the complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, 790-2040. And of course, Monday is our Monday political face-off day. With me in studio, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers is here, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John, how was your weekend?
Great weekend.
Jeff, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Had a great weekend. Got in a little bit of horseback riding and also took in by television that Wildcats game, which was quite a stunner.
How in the world did this Wildcat team, where have they been for the first?
That's wonderful. Yeah. It's good for Tucson.
It is good. Offense and good defense. Haven't seen that mix this year.
Meanwhile, my other Wildcats, Jeff, and you'll appreciate this, you know, I grew up right there at Northwestern. The Northwestern Wildcats sit atop the Big Ten.
That's a shocker, too.
It is, beating Wisconsin. So that sets up a huge game at Iowa City this weekend between Northwestern and Iowa.
Go Hawkeyes.
So it is a fun time of year. It has just been so much horrible news, of course, with the shooting at the synagogue. That turns out, Jeff, to be, I believe, the worst anti-Semitic violent incident in this country's history.
It absolutely is.
And we do want to mention, Ray mentioned that in the headlines, that tonight there is a vigil at the Jewish Community Center. It's a candlelight vigil. This would be a multi-faith prayer vigil at 7 o'clock at the JCC, the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona, the Jewish Tucson Jewish Community Center, synagogues, and community Jewish agencies are hosting the vigil. We just had this it's been a real bad couple of days for these horrible incidents, John Munger.
Well, it's been a bad period of time, you know. We've had it on both sides, and I'm not blaming anybody, but, you know, we had Steve Scalise shot last year on a baseball field where the shooter came in and tried to shoot up the entire Republican Congressional Caucus on the baseball field. I don't blame anybody for that except the shooter. I think we've had a lot of things. A lot of things have gone unreported that the press has not picked up on. In the last couple of weeks, we've had several Republican congressional offices, local offices, trash boulders thrown through their windows.
Locally here?
No, across the country.
Across the country, okay.
And the press doesn't pick up on those, but it's on both sides. We've got wackos out there, and it needs to stop. People need to get real. This is a free country. Violence has no place in the political process. I just finished watching the documentary by Ken Burns on the Vietnam War. And, you know, there was a lot of hatred in the streets, but it didn't turn into generally political violence except on the part of a couple of real wackos that bombed some post offices and things.
The Weatherman, Underground.
Yeah. But this needs to stop. And we need to come together, recognize that we have a chance for an election here. People need to get on with the election. They need to quit complaining about who gets elected. The zeitgeist in this country needs to be that the winners of the elections win. They are elected. We go on to the next election. But this concept of not accepting who's elected as your officials needs to end.
Okay, let's bring Jeff Rogers in.
Well, you know, I tell you what needs to end is this whataboutism and this both sides nonsense. This is not on both sides. There are very rare instances of violence committed by leftist activists. What we've got is a toxic atmosphere of hate, lies, and anger that is fomented by Donald Trump. I lay all of this at the feet of Donald Trump. The Anti-Defamation League has indicated that since Trump was elected, there's been a 60% increase in anti-Semitic attacks, including bombings and bomb threats at synagogues all across America. In addition, there public university campuses estimate now, the ADL does, that there has been a almost 100% increase in white supremacist activity at our college campuses. And this can be laid directly at the feet of, I believe, the Republican Party and Donald Trump. And this toxic atmosphere does need to end, and he needs to be the first person to stop it, and he can't do it. He's a man who has no empathy or sympathy for anyone except himself. And he demonstrated that quite clearly this past week when we have 14 people, the targets of bombs across America, all of them Democrats, I might add, and when we have killing of 11 people at a synagogue. He barely can condemn these things, and then he gets back into his attack mode at his rallies where he foments this kind of hate, lies, and anger. And so it's got to stop, as John said, but it's got to start at the top where it stops.
Well, you know, look, we need to recognize that you're blaming, I guess you're blaming Donald Trump for the shooting of Steve Scalise and the attempt to shoot the entire Republican delegation on the baseball field less than a year ago, and you're blaming
Donald Trump for the toxic atmosphere
you're blaming Donald Trump for the rocks thrown through the windows of various congressional offices. I suppose you're blaming Donald Trump. There was an assassination attempt lately on him.
Assassination attempt on Donald Trump?
Yes.
And that must be from some kind of alternate media, well, because none of us have heard about an assassination.
That's because the media doesn't report the facts that are inconvenient to them, Jeff. But I can guarantee you
that's
that
because
happened.
The real media,
Jeff,
reports
let me finish.
The facts.
Let me finish,
not
please.
The kind of lies that
the
Donald
media
Trump
doesn't
tells.
Report these things.
Where did this? Can you tell us anything about that? Or
well,
that?
There was, I can tell you that it happened, and I can tell you that the congressional offices were attacked in the last 2 weeks, but
and
the
I
press
haven't
never
even heard of that.
Well,
either.
It's because you listen to CNN, Jeff, and MSNBC.
I mostly read newspapers, John.
Well, they don't get reported in the newspapers either. But those things have been happening, and they are going on both sides, and they need to stop. I will tell you, I've listened to Donald Trump's speeches. I doubt you have, and I have heard nothing hateful in those speeches. There's nothing hateful going on. He's campaigning, and he has decried in the strongest possible terms the pipe bombs and everything else. You folks need to recognize this whole thing started when the Democrats refused to accept Donald Trump as our president and went into an immediate resist mode. And you guys have been at
Republicans
it.
Did the same
please,
thing with Barack Obama.
Please, no.
Yes,
that is not true.
Yes, they did. They met and said that they would that his he would not be a success, that they would support nothing he supported, and that happened on the day after the
that
election.
That is far different than the hate that's gone into this resist movement, Jeff. Please let me finish. There is no stronger Republican or conservative than me, and I can tell you the first thing my wife and I did when we sat down with Barack Obama elected, we said, let's give the guy a chance. And all the Republicans that I talked to said, well, let's keep our fingers crossed. We did not go into this hateful resist mode that you guys have done. You're a bunch of spoiled children. It is not your way, so you're going to resist it, and you're going to fight, and you're not going to let anything, you're not going to let this nation come together. So don't be blaming it on Donald Trump.
Okay. And let me go on one further thing that Donald Trump does. He uses coded language, like, for instance, talking about globalists. Globalists is a signal to the alt-right for Jews, basically, and he goes on the attack against Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, whose father's Jewish, and George Soros. And Soros and Bloomberg are both Jewish. And he's attacked all of those three people at almost every one of his rallies and associated them with what they call globalists, which is a code word for Jews.
I will tell you, Jeff, that Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is Jewish. His daughter is Jewish. Netanyahu and the Jewish state have said specifically that Donald Trump is not anti-Semitic.
All right, we're going to have to pause right here. Mo is presenting our Monday political face-off, family-owned and run since 1985. Mo is Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, support comes from our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Jeff, have you been up there yet?
Been up there.
You
it's
have?
Delicious, yes.
And you tried Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle?
I had the Kringle. It was very good.
John, what about you?
I'm on my way right
there
after
you
this.
Go.
Let's go to Mona's.
Why not? And have your lunch up there on a great set.
Have a Kringle.
Have a Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, who's a possible U.S. Senate candidate, plus Arizona Daily Star Street Smarts columnist David Layton, Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Worldwide live streaming, buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger and Jeff Rogers with me in studio. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Adriana has been waiting at 790-2040. Go ahead, Adriana.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, so I would just like to say, so the incident with this person that committed this crime, I just want to say that it's disingenuous to say that all of us are labeled that way. To label us all as criminals and someone that is planning to attack. We are Americans first, okay?
That is right.
And then
right.
The party. So
I don't think anyone's blaming everyone. We're just saying that there's a toxic political atmosphere. That's one thing that John and I can agree on here, that we have a very toxic political atmosphere. I assess the blame a little differently than John does as to how we got here, but that I think it's the atmosphere that's leading these kind of people who used to stay under their rocks to come out and get
involved. So have a few that are doing that, but you can't. So I hear all your rhetoric. But we're Americans. I'm an American,
okay?
I follow the laws. I obey the laws. I accept the Constitution as a whole. You guys have no message, okay, but hate and resist.
All right, Adriana.
That doesn't move us forward.
Okay, I'm going to move along. Greg is with us at 790-2040. Hello, Greg.
Good morning or good afternoon, Bill and John and Jeff. Jeff, you mentioned something. Please allow me to finish and then don't interrupt. You said a globalist is a code word for Jews. That's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. And I come from a Jewish background, and there has been no better friend to Israel since George Washington than Donald Trump. If you want to, you know, just ask Benjamin Netanyahu. And we know about Barack Obama's past. We know about the Reverend Wright, when Reverend Wright was condemning America and his association with Farrakhan. Now, here's what's interesting is while the news wants to take us over here, the media wants to look over here at there was some powder sent to all these Congress people and supposedly a pipe bomb, and the tragedy, of course, that happened over the weekend in Pittsburgh. But here's what we're not looking at. Cheryl Atkinson, former CBS News reporter, was doing stories during the Obama administration, which were unkind. They were honest, but he didn't like it. So they were getting into her computer. And that's not a conspiracy theory. The proof was there. She'd get home, files were deleted. So she presently has a lawsuit against that wonderful Attorney General, Eric Holder, who was responsible at Justice Department for doing that.
Okay, Greg. I'm going to have to move along.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Jeff, do you want to respond to caller Greg?
Well, what we're seeing today is unprecedented in American history. We've never had this kind of toxic political atmosphere, and it needs to change, and the only way it can change is twofold. One, Democrats need to win big on next Tuesday, and the president needs to get his act together, and the people surrounding the president need to basically rein him in and make him behave if they can, if they're capable of doing that, and if they have the spine to do it, but which we haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of. But it has to start at the top. He has to quit being so toxic and quit having these rallies where he encourages violence and misbehavior.
You know, I'm sorry. Once again, I've listened to his rallies. There is nothing, Jeff, and I've listened to all of them. There's nothing he said that encourages any violence. He has been most conciliatory. He is not sending out the tweets that he used to send out. He's much more presidential in the last year. You guys just refuse to accept him as your president because you were expecting to put crooked Hillary into office, even though she was what started this whole thing is that Hillary Clinton broke the law repeatedly, and got away with it because the swamp, the insiders in Washington, refused to prosecute her because they thought she was going to be president. And that outrages me, and it outrages a bunch of other people. But I will tell you that until you people accept Donald Trump as the duly elected president and get over your resistance and move on, you can't live off of making up code words that you think is a code word and nobody else does.
All right.
That's just more hate, Jeff.
Everybody agrees that those
no,
are code,
I don't,
those code
I don't
words.
I don't agree with that.
But all everybody right. agrees.
Let's move on to the election that's coming up. We have early voting ending, actually, Wednesday is the deadline. Jeff, how do you think the Democrats are going to do?
Statewide or
yes,
nationwide?
Statewide and nationwide.
Well, statewide, I think we've got a chance to pick up a few statewide positions. I'm not optimistic for Garcia's chances to take the governorship. He's made some huge unforced errors in his candidacy, and I'm very disappointed with the campaign that he's run and the mistakes that he's made. So I don't think we're going to get that. I think Kyrsten Sinema has a good chance to win the election for the U.S. Senate position. I think it'll still be close. Could go either way, but I'd say right now she has the edge over McSally.
Kirkpatrick wins,
Kirkpatrick wins easily, I'm sure of. Al O'Halloran wins the CD1.
CD1, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we'll do well in the State House and the State Senate. I don't know if we're on the verge of capturing a majority of either one. I think we have a slight chance of maybe in the Senate. The House, probably not so much. Nationwide, I think we probably do see a bit of a blue wave and we take the House of Representatives. The Senate map is a little daunting for us. I just can't see how we can overcome the number of seats we're defending in so many red states. We'll be lucky to hold the edge that we or the margin we've got right now. We'll be very lucky to hold on to that, and probably need Sinema to win and the Nevada Senate race. We need to pick that one up probably to even stay where we're at.
What do you think, John?
Well, I think that
Republicans would do better than had been advertised.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to pick up 1 to 3 seats in the Senate. We're going to it's going to be very tight in the House. Typically, the Democrats would pick up in this type of race just enough seats, just in an average election year in a midterm, to win majority in the House. It will not be a blue wave. It'll be a typical election, midterm election. It's going to come down to 1 to 3 seats in the House as to who wins. I think whoever wins the House, it's going to be almost incapable of doing anything much. If the Democrats win, they will hold investigations. If the Republicans hold the Senate, which they will be doing investigations from the other side. Nobody will be able to do much.
So not much gets done in the next 2 years.
I don't think much gets done. I think the good news is Donald Trump, from my perspective, Donald Trump has done so much already that we're fairly happy with the status quo. But the blue wave is gone. It won't be a blue wave. It'll be a pretty average election. Both sides are motivated. In terms of the local Arizona races, I agree with Jeff that the governor, Ducey, will win that election. I agree that the Senate race between Kyrsten Sinema and McSally is very tight. I saw a poll today that had a CBS poll that said that of 982 voters, it said Sinema was up by 2%.
So it's within the margin of error.
It's a 4.5-point margin of error.
All right, guys. In the remaining 2 minutes.
I think O'Halloran will lose.
Okay. There's your prediction there that Colonel Rogers will win, according to John Munger. All right. A quick comment on what happened in Brazil with the election of the populist far-right candidate. Jeff, what's going on around the world with this? There is a resurgence of populism.
There is, and it's a kind of a nationalism and populism that we're seeing, particularly in Eastern Europe. The former Soviet bloc countries are rejecting democracy and pluralism. We're seeing that in South America as well. This guy in Brazil is going to be dangerous. I mean, he is homophobic. He's anti-woman.
Oh, here they go again.
He's a going to be a dangerous character.
You talk about starting the hatred. States. That's the way to start it.
Start the ad hominem attacks.
Johnny admits these things. No,
he admits these things and ran on them. So, you know, that's the truth is hard to take sometimes, but that's the truth.
And, John, your take on the
My take on populism.
My take
on it is people are not rejecting democracy. What they're rejecting is bureaucratic control, in the case of Europe, from the EU. They don't want the bureaucrats in EU running what's happening in Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic or Slovak Republic. They don't want the EU running what's going on in Hungary. Brazil is fed up with the bureaucrats and the corruption going on in Brasilia and throughout that country. Just the way Americans are fed up with Washington running things and screwing up, they want power to divest back to the states. This is not anti-democratic. This is anti-globalist, anti-left-wing bureaucrats who are the swamp in all these different areas. People want control of their countries back.
That's that globalist word again.
Oh, Jeff, get over it. You guys keep coming up with these ad hominem attacks and calling people names. And then on the other hand, after calling people names, you want to tell me to stop the hate speech.
All right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff, thank you very much for coming in. Jeff Rogers, John Munger,
always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. Want to tell you about Green Things, our favorite nursery. And of course, Green Things is now the home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico. Actually, they've got five galleries over in the Zocalo Village at Green Things. So check it out, 3384 East River Road. And if you're into Mata Ortiz pottery, that's that great pottery that comes from Chihuahua State in Mexico. They're going to be having the weekend of November 9th through the 11th, Mata Ortiz lectures and sale with Julio Mora, one of the great potters from Mata Ortiz. So go to the Green Things website and check it out for all the activities going on there. A lot going on. All right, David Safir joins us now. David writes at the TucsonWeekly.com column that is called The Range. It's not really a column. It's a segment of their website.
It's a series of blog posts, right? They have all of the stuff that's on in the paper in the print edition on there too, but The Range is separate. Sometimes the reporters on the weekly write there, and sometimes they have other people writing there, and I write regularly, usually about education, but politics and education right now are inextricably mixed together
and very closely tied to the election.
Oh,
certainly,
gosh,
when
yes.
We have a candidate like Dr. David Garcia, who has pretty much built Not pretty much. He has built his whole platform around his gubernatorial race, his whole platform around
education.
That's
right. He's talked about other stuff, but that's the center of it. And let's face it, that is one of the centers. It used to be the number one issue in Arizona until recently, and courtesy of some of the stuff that Ducey has done and also some of the stuff on the national level, I think that immigration has jumped up a little bit above it or edged it out or something like that. So now we have a one and two, immigration and education.
Tell me what's going on with, why did Invest in Ed not make the ballot?
Well, it's a long story. Invest in Ed, for people who don't know what it is, Invest in Education is the full moniker that it has. And it basically was the idea that if it was passed by the voters, it would put an extra tax, add to the income tax on people whose taxable income was higher than $250,000 if it was a single person, and was higher than $500,000 if it was a couple. It was pushed a lot by teachers and educators. They had no money to speak of. They just a lot of shoe leather going out, walking, and getting many more than enough signatures, passed easily on the signatures. But there are very strong opponents of it, and I'm going to say fairly obviously that the opponents are either people who make more than $250,000 to $500,000 in taxable income, or politicians who get a lot of money from them. And by that, that's kind of, for me, a code word for Republicans, so I'll take it out of the code word and actually say it. They didn't like it at all, so they opposed the initiative in court. And what they said is this initiative, the way it's written, is flawed. And they said basically there are two reasons it's flawed. One is that it actually puts a bit of a tax on people who make less than the amount that I said before. And the other is, and this is the shows me that they're doing it for political reasons rather than worrying about the legal part, that they use the term percent rather than percentage in their 100-word summary. And because these things were not exactly right in the 100-word summary, that's why they were against it. Well, the court, the Superior Court, the County Superior Court said, nah, that's not right. That's fine. We're going to leave this on there. Sure, there are a few flaws, but there are always a few flaws. And that's what you're supposed to fight out during the elections. And then it was appealed up to the Arizona Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court voted it off the ballot. Now, I feel that the Supreme Court voting it off the ballot, though they use exactly the reasons that were held against it, it's possible to get there, but the reason they got there is not because they made a good judicial decision, but they were deciding with the Republican Party and the people, the moneyed interests in this state. And that's basically the way it came down. It's fairly clear from any number of reasons. One of them, and I'll mention this before we go on, is that the decision was actually 2 months ago.
And 2 months ago, all we knew from the Supreme Court decision is they voted against Invest in Education, which means we will not see it. We'll not be able to vote on it. And the other part of it is their long written decision and the long opposition to it. We didn't see those for 2 full months, and they finally came out Friday, just days before the election, a week and change before the election, when really it's too late for anyone to use them to mount some kind of a campaign around the fact that this is something we wanted that was taken away from them. So that even by itself, forgetting the other parts, and there are a lot of other parts, makes it feel very political to me.
Do you feel it's part of a larger push to make it more difficult to have these citizen-created initiatives, which are called for and allowed in the Arizona Constitution?
Well, absolutely, yes. And that's another thing that puts it in the suspicious category. The legislature has begun something that the best way to call it is a zero-tolerance campaign about these citizen-based initiatives. What they've said is that you can make absolutely no errors on the petition form. So if the person carrying the petition forgets to put their own zip code, say, that means the entire petition, every single signature is thrown out. If they even put the wrong zip code, the same thing can happen. As for individual voters, and I'm not kidding about this, is if you haven't been signing any petitions lately, you might not know this, but if your name leaks out of the two lines that are supposed to be between, if you have a G or a Y in your name and you go below the line, they can throw out that signature for that reason. So the whole idea is to make it as difficult as possible, and it's pretty clear why. The legislature can put on initiatives very easily just by a vote of the legislature, but when people do it, well, listen to what's going on this year. You can vote this year, because it made it on the ballot, to limit private school vouchers. That's mm-hmm. not something that the legislature and the governor wants. They're for more private school vouchers. You can vote this year to increase the use of clean energy over the years, that will hit a point where we have to use a certain amount of clean energy, that will be the law. Once again, the legislature and the governor are against those. Why do they want these things to happen? The Invest in Ed, we just talked about that being thrown out. And another one that's thrown out that they really hate is outlawing dark money. And dark money, though it goes to both parties to some extent, goes the vast majority to Republicans. So they would rather not have these initiatives. If they can stop it with a legislation, that zero tolerance legislation, and then if the Supreme Court adopts also a zero tolerance policy, which means there can't be anything wrong with the way it's worded, the way it's written, the slightest bit of problem with the opposition, the people who said it should be on, the two people on the Supreme Court who said that, they said, of course they don't have it perfectly. That's not the point. These have got to be close, and then the rest of it can be argued by the voters and by the people who are campaigning for it. So it's a very difficult position. It's a hard time for citizen initiatives, and I think either there are going to be less of them or they're going to have more money behind them.
Well, I think Arizona, if maybe a caller can correct me, but I think Arizona is one of the few states that has these citizen initiatives. I believe when our Constitution was adopted in this state, there was this distrust of government, and they felt that this would be a way to let the citizens have a say. But I don't think many states actually have that process.
Well, I came here from Oregon, and Oregon also had that. And to be honest, some of the citizen petitions that went on, the initiatives in Oregon, and even here, I don't agree with, but I do agree with the process. And like everything else, democracy is very messy. What was it, Winston Churchill, who said democracy is the worst form of government except for everything else? I think he said something like that. It's messy. It has all kinds of problems.
Sausage making.
But it's what we've got, and what we've got to do is use that messy process to come out with the best possible result.
And Ray, you point out, Ray Allen, my engineer producer, that is mostly states west of the Mississippi that do have that initiative process. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in our conversation, that's our live line number. But I'm going to tell our listeners, David, right now about Thanksgiving, which is hard to believe that it's coming up 3 weeks
right away
from Thursday. So it would be a great time to think about your dinner rolls and all of your pies and the place to do all of that and have those made for you would be Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by, say hello to owner Steve or any of the team and say you would like to order your dinner rolls, and if there's a particular pie or two that you would like Steve and the team to create for you, they would be happy to take your order. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to 24 or so supporters that we are so proud to have that make our program possible. We'll be right back with David Safir. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a very pretty time of year over there. The mid, we're still in the mid-autumn period, which means you still got some leaves in the high country changing, a great time of year in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. David Safir is with us. He writes about education at TucsonWeekly.com. The Arizona Republic has had quite a, I don't know, I guess you would call it investigative series into charter schools in this country,
yeah,
or this state and country to a certain extent.
Yeah, an investigative reporter by the name of Craig Harris up there at the Republic has just been doing incredible yeoman's work, digging into what's going on and digging into like multi-million dollar situations of people making money from charters. Charter schools get all of their money from the state. It's the taxpayer money, same stuff that goes to Tucson Unified School District and all the school districts. But for instance, one guy, the founder of the American Leadership Academy that has a dozen campuses, he made about $37 million on real estate deals. Somebody else, a CEO of Primavera Online Charter School, got an $8.8 million payout. Now, you think about superintendents of huge districts like TUSD that has 40 to 50,000 students, and you know, you'll get a couple hundred thousand dollars, $200,000 or $300,000 pay, and this guy is getting $8.8 million for his online charter. One of our representatives, a state representative, a Republican by the name of Eddie Farnsworth, runs a for-profit school, a for-profit charter called the Ben Franklin Charter School, and he's going to transfer it into a nonprofit status. He's going to get something to the tune of $30 million from that transfer, and is transferring from profit to nonprofit, going to people who are good friends of his, who he brought on to the school board. It's just his charter school board. It's really phenomenally problematic that our money is being used by profiteers like this. And just the idea that there are for-profit charters where whatever money, you know, when I run a store, whatever money I bring in, whatever is left after all my expenses goes into my pocket. Well, the idea that a charter school would be run in a way that every dollar you don't spend on your students is another dollar in your bank book, that just seems wrong. The profit motive should simply not be what's running things.
Whose responsibility is the oversight of charter schools in this state?
Well, there's something called the Arizona Charter School Board, and it's very similar to the Arizona School Board, but it's a separate unit. It was set up, I'm going to say 25 years ago, when charters began in this state, and their job is oversight. But another thing that Craig Harris up at the Republic pointed out is that if you go on their website and you're looking for complaints about the charter schools, you know, obviously people send in complaints, problems. There are going to be problems with anything. You could have problems with obvious businesses, with district schools. But if you look on there, they say there haven't been any complaints, when in fact there have been hundreds of complaints during the year. So their job is supposed to be a watchdog. In fact, their job is more as a cheerleader, unfortunately, and many of the people on the board are charter school owners themselves or in some way invested in charter schools. So their job is to perpetuate this system rather than cleaning it up, cleaning up the problems. And I should say, people accuse me of being anti-charter school. There are very few people in this state who are really anti-charter school, and I'm certainly not anti-charter school. Most Democrats in the legislature aren't anti-charter school, but we're against abuses and corruption and profiteering. And right now, for the first time, Republicans, I have never heard this before, are saying, oh my, we've got to do something about all of these abuses of charter schools. Mark Brnovich, who is the attorney general, just said, this is terrible. I had no idea. Come on, Mark. You've been around for a while. You had an idea. And first, Doug Ducey said, you know, there's no problem with people making a profit. And then he swallowed and gulped and said, oh, wait, there is a problem with that happening. And I'm going to follow the lead of one of the senators, Senator Brophy McGee, who's a Republican senator, who happens to have put together her charter school regulation package. after she got a challenger who happens to be an ex-teacher of the year, state teacher of the year here. So all kinds of Republicans who've always been kind of apologists and cheerleaders are now very much on the side of reform. And I'm going to say cynically, until November 7th, after the ballots cast. And then all of a sudden, though they'll say they're for reform, they'll water down the reform as much as possible because they're not in the position of oversight. And while there are excellent charter schools, there's no reason to have charter schools which can be either disciplined or closed if they are purposely doing things that are making it a for-profit system or doing things that aren't in the best interests of the children as they see it. Doesn't mean they all have to be A schools, but it means they've got to be doing things in the students' best interests.
So this Charter Schools Association, these are appointments by the legislature to this group?
No, it's a charter school board, and oh my gosh, now I'm going to go into dangerous territory. I'm pretty sure they're appointed by the governor, okay, as the school board is appointed by the governor. There's another group, which is the Arizona Charter Schools Association, which is a private group, which is purely a cheerleader, to some extent a watchdog on their own people because they don't want too many problems. But basically, they are a private organization funded by all kinds of outside sources to promote charter schools.
And of course, they are public schools, charter schools, so they are under the purview of the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, correct?
Correct, they are. They are. I'm going to say that they are publicly funded independent schools, because there's a real argument about whether a school that isn't responsive to the state in the same sense that a district school is should really be called a public school. Some people want to call them private schools. I think that may be going too far, but it's important to point out that they are publicly funded, but they are independent of a lot of the guidelines and oversight that the district schools have. And while they've got to be independent to some extent, by definition, a charter school is supposed to be able to go off in other directions. It can't be to the point where they can abuse the privilege. And that's what's happening, because the rules and restrictions and the oversight placed on them is just too shoddy, too loose.
You think the whole Invest in Ed, the movement, will lose a lot of its momentum after the election?
Boy, I don't know. We're going to have to see.
Just your guess.
Okay, my guess is that if Ducey manages to put more money into teacher salaries, it's going to be hard to keep up the momentum. I'm just such a bad predictor, so I'm not going to do that. But I'm hoping that it will stay strong, because I've never seen as much energy out of teachers as this. But teachers tend, usually, and as a 30-year teacher, I know this, teachers tend to be non-political. They tend not to vote very regularly, which always surprises me. So it's going to be hard to keep the momentum going after the election. And we'll see. There are people who want to keep it going, but we'll see what happens.
And why do you think teachers are not really good about going to the polls and voting? Just any theories as a longtime teacher?
It's something that's always troubled me, because teachers voted about sometimes as low as a 30 to 35% rate, and teachers should be voting at least 80%. Yeah. They're public servants, and the feeling I have is that teachers are kind of tired of being public servants when they stop being public servants, the moment they stop being public servants, when they're finally done with their classes and their preparations and grading homework. They say, okay, I've done what I have to do. You want to have your civic chore? You want to vote? Go ahead and vote. It's the only way I can explain it, because I know teachers. Teachers are good, caring, thoughtful people who want to have the best for the country and for their students. So the only thing I can think is a kind of emotional and spiritual exhaustion from all the work they have to do, and say, oh, please don't make me do one more thing for the general good, since that's what I do from the moment I wake up in the morning till an hour or two before I go to sleep.
Your columns at TucsonWeekly.com always generate a lot of comments. Some of these comments can get just incredibly nasty.
They do, and it's always a battle to not let them get you down, because as anybody knows who goes on comments section, a lot of people go on there for the purpose of denigrating and destroying the person who's doing the writing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right. Your column, I think you've got a column coming up today, right?
I should, yeah. And it's going to be about the Invest in Ed thing. I'm putting it together. It's on my computer as we speak, and it's not done till it's done. So it'll either be up today or certainly tomorrow.
All right, David Sefier, we will look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com and under the column The Range. And you've been writing that for how many years now?
Well, I've been blogging for a little over 10 years, and of those, maybe four of them, and I haven't counted exactly, on The Range, and before that on Blog for Arizona. So it's been a long time. I retired after 32, 33 years of teaching, took a few years of just doing what I'm doing, was doing, and have been writing 2, 3, 4 posts a week for a decade.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work and a lot of thinking. I love it. I've always enjoyed doing it. You've got to be pulled to the computer keyboard and want to do it, you know, because it's a matter of putting your heart and soul and your ideas onto paper or the web.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we've got Michael Medved after this program in about 1 minute. We'll be back with you on the Buckmaster program tomorrow. We'll have our Tuesday edition. We've got former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, was a very close friend of John McCain, and Grant Woods is now considering running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat. So we'll be talking to Mr. Woods tomorrow, among our other guests, including Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner. So join us at 12:04 tomorrow. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen, thank you, Ray, for your work. And, of course, David Sefier, will be seeing you tomorrow in about 23 hours. Have a great day.